Blog Talk Radio.
Want to see. Yes,
how to increase the areas in your life that you want to be, do, or have, and how to decrease in the places that you no longer want to see. Release Your Power will help people become who they are. So we're going to give out a couple of more steps tomorrow, and we're going to continue to work on it and digest it. And we want you to tune in the morning, because the Release Your Power Tour has launched officially. We launched officially, and we are traveling around, not only physically around the country, but virtually around the world, helping people to release their power. We are going to demonstrate firsthand how to coach yourself out of any situation. So you got to stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter. If you don't have a Twitter account, sign up for a Twitter account. It's very simple. It's just much like signing up for Facebook. Just a few information, pieces of information, and boom, you're in. So please, please, please sign up. Follow me on Twitter. You will find out where the next meetings are for the Release Your Power. You can be all that you desire. God has given you the power and the ability to do it, but you can't do it if you do not do it, okay? You got to take action. So this book, in all that you do, in all that you get, he said, get an understanding. And so this book will help you get a better, a different understanding. You need sometimes, not always, but sometimes, is simply about having a new perspective. You know, that's why people read. I mean, if you want to just keep it really, really real, like really, 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 really real, that's why people read books, because they want a new perspective on something. It could be something that they already know. More than likely, they do. It could be something they've already heard, something they've already learned, but they're looking for a new perspective, so that they can go to another level. So you want to get to another level, you need some new perspectives. And there's so many people who are trying to get to new levels, but they have the same perspective. And you can't do that. That's like expecting change without changing. It'll never happen. So I'm going to welcome to the line right now, Mr. Versi L. Walker. Mr. Versi L. Walker, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Perspective. I mean, new change.
Ah, that's right.
There you go. How are you doing?
I am excited. I'm healthy. I'm happy. And I am prosperous. How are you?
I'm, you know what, doing equally the same. You know, I definitely can't complain. I truly wish that I was, you know, there with you this weekend. And I know you enjoyed yourself immensely, and so good. I'm glad you were able to do that and get this thing off the ground and right there in everyone's face and ready to give them that new perspective.
It's off. It's off and running. Yes, the Release Your Power Tour has officially launched, and North Carolina did it in a big way. We were excited, I'm telling you, to see people that were so excited. I mean, these people came out Friday evening and then came back on Saturday and were there from 9 to 5 p.m. I say these are people that are hungry. These are people who want to be empowered. These people discussed things, I'm telling you, and things that they want to do that they're going to do. But what was so special for me was to have had the great-granddaughter, I believe, or not grandchild, but maybe like a, well, some descendant in that level of granddaughter or great-granddaughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., as we know, the king of the dream, okay?
Right.
Yes, the king of the dream. This, have his daughter, who, a granddaughter, great-granddaughter, whatever she was, she couldn't have been no more than probably, I think she's going to the 10th grade.
Oh, wow.
Her and her sister were there. And they said, oh, that was a good, you know, they liked the seminar. They liked the speech. They had to leave halfway through.
Okay.
The young, yes, the young girl won the book Release Your Power, the one that's in the seventh grade.
And they could have been anywhere, anywhere. Young kids could have been anywhere, but they were there.
They were there. Students, and they got up, they actually performed. They were there with their mother, who is the one that they don't go around telling people, oh, we're descendants of the king, but it was the mother who actually did share that. And so, and I actually got it on video, a little clip. I haven't loaded it up yet to the internet because I did interview some people about their feelings about the conference afterwards for their testimony. So we'll do that later. But people, I'm telling you, it's going down. You got to get connected. You see a train that's moving. Listen, if you can jump on, get on it. You don't just stand there and watch it go by. This is a moving train. And so you want the ticket, and we'll stop for you for a moment. But that we got to get back going. But thanks so much for your support, your kind words. Thanks to that Virginia Dancy. Oh, my God. Ooh, it was just, she just did, it was just amazing how she went and set that up. Her and Dr. Cindy Hunter, kudos to that whole team down there. Pastor Rita Pugh Robinson, Pastor Beverly Jarrell, Denise Little. She, all on point. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. Couldn't have asked for anything better. I mean, they made our stay wonderful. We just had a great Mr. William Thompson. He did the financial piece. Awesome, 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 awesome. And Anjanette Washington. Can't forget Anjanette Washington. She actually rode down with me. Her and Abigail and Anjanette Washington presented on health. So we're going to Cincinnati, Ohio next. We're working on a date. That's where we're going next. And I believe that's where we're going. We're working on a date now and taking care. So people who want to get in, you can get in the car, or you know, you can drive your own car, you can take a flight, it's up to you. But if you want to be a part of it, if you want to go, and we are looking for individuals who want to help people release their power.
The statement should be, don't meet me there, beat me there.
Hey, that's it. Well, hey, listen, have your power released when we get there.
There you go. Good. I am so excited for you and this this situation. Like I say, I just wish I could have been there to not only, you know, to participate, but to be in attendance, because I know how important this is, and I know these are things that we've talked about throughout the year, but at the beginning of the year, how we're going to expand what we're doing to reach, you know, more individuals, to raise more consciousness, because this is the time. This is the season, you know, and individuals don't realize what they're sitting on. You know, it's like the guy who had a whole field of diamonds. He sells his farm, rushes to Africa because he hears there's gold there and people are getting rich, and he winds up being poor within 5 years. But he was sitting on acres of diamonds, but he didn't know what a diamond looked like in its roughest form, but he had it all around him. And so there's so many individuals who have this power inside of them. They have these talents and these gifts and don't know how to release them. And the universe is asking. The universe is commanding and forcing them every step of the way. They're losing so many material things. They're losing so many personal items, and they don't realize why, because those weren't the sustainable gifts that they have. They have this power inside that they're not releasing, which will free them immensely. So, again, this is the season.
And you just really described chapter two, because you talked about something all around you and not knowing it. And chapter two talks about taking that self-assessment. So you have all of these, you have all of these gifts and talents within you because you have not known how to look at them. You didn't know how to recognize what was a gift. And so some things you have right in you, in your hand, you have already discounted as this isn't anything. This will never be nothing. This is nothing. Well, that's what Grandma and them always told me. That's what auntie and uncle and them always said. It was nothing. So that's what you begin to. People even tell you. I had, like I was sharing last night, we were on a Godly Woman's View television show, a new TV show that's launching right here locally on the internet, and they're about to blow up. These people have it hooked up. But one of the things we said there was that I had ran into a young lady in her mid-30s, about 33, who was literally in tears because for the first time someone told her that getting a GED, you can still be something great. Now I have a GED, and now I'm working on a PhD.
Right.
And I have several degrees in between. But here's a person who has somebody told her that a GED ain't worth nothing. So they told her the only thing that's worth anything is a high school diploma. And when she went to go try to get into night school, they told her she missed the age mark.
Mm.
And she was about to give up. She was sitting at the welfare office, and I said, and I didn't even recognize her because she was actually sitting on the floor.
Okay.
The room was so crowded. I was talking to another lady, and I was saying something about, I must have mentioned the word GED, and she said, ma'am, could I have one? I was passing out these flyers. And I said, sure. And she said, because I heard you say, and I figured, let me ask you, you might know something about it. And I, stooped down to talk to her, you see. We got to go down to people's levels.
Correct. They have to raise them up.
I was like, Lord, I hope I'm going to be able to stand up when I get down here. But I felt the move of the Spirit saying, get down. Because we always come up, but you got to go get some people. And I went, stooped down, and began to talk with her, and this was her issue. She had been told this. So there are still people today in 2011 telling people things like that. And so, anyway, I know it's time for you to do your show, so let you go.
I enjoy this. No, again, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I say, let's do a Release Your Power over there in New York, somewhere close to you. That way you don't have to travel.
You know what? That works. We have a Ramada right down the street that is just, I guess, renovating, and they're putting on various different shows, and so that we can do.
You can find us a place over there, and we will come. We got other people. We can do, we can put them together. You got the millionaire mindset or the success, well, you know what you got. And so...
Right.
You know what you got better than I do.
Okay. No problem. We can make it happen. Let's make it do what it do.
This is the time. I mean, there's something to be said for a lot of planning. I'm one to believe in that. I'm not knocking it. But at the same time, I'm another one for let's do now and plan for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on and get this one done.
Get it started.
Yes, because while you're sitting there still trying to plan for a year, five other people have already launched.
There you go.
Yes. That's just something I learned in the school. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but that's what they teach you in any business 101, marketing 101 class. Yes, you plan. That's true. But at the same time, if you don't launch all of your planning, it really was a waste of time.
And even my web designer yesterday, she was like, let's just go ahead and build this new one, and we'll tweak it along the way, but let's just get it started. Because we can always bake all the things you want in this cake, all the things you want to put in this seasoning of this meat. But you know what? You're talking about it. Get up and go in that cupboard. Get up and go in that shelf and just start pulling stuff off and adding as you go along.
But you could have had, 18 new customers while you're still planning. Now, them customers now understand whoever they go with first, that's probably where they're going to stay.
Amen.
Think about the things you've bought and the places that you've shopped. More than likely, you go back to the other place, even though sometimes something else may come along that appears better.
Correct.
You see, there's something kind of buyer, psychology thing going there. And so, yes, you want things to be right when you put them out there. But you can be right and start small. And nothing, there's nowhere written that you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, Mr. Walker, with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone is having a wonderful day, week, year, month. Just excited once again to be here to present, to talk with you, to be alive. Life is so great. Last night we had just a little nice storm, I'll say. Maybe it wasn't even a storm, just nice rain to cool off the plains, and it's going to be a nice week. Everything is working out wonderfully well with me, with you. I'm just hoping you receive this because I believe this. So, you know, the universe is working well. The God Spirit inside of you is equalizing any imbalance in your life. It is purifying any impurities in your life, in your world, and in your affairs. And it's bringing about the prosperity that you deserve. It's bringing about that power that is invested inside of you and allowing you to release it. Something that just came to mind when thinking of that is when I wrote my first book, I almost wanted to rip off the delete button on my computer because I was so afraid that if I deleted something that I wouldn't be creative enough to replenish it, to replace it. Now I would delete a whole section. I would delete a whole chapter. I would delete a whole book and start over from scratch because if it ain't right, it ain't fit to be there. But I believe now enough in myself that I have the creative juices, and it may not come about at that very moment. I may have to step back and reexamine, review, walk away, disconnect. But I have enough confidence that if I were to delete, I can then replenish, I can rebuild. And I think we have a problem with that as a society. We'd rather not get rid of, throw away, or discard because we just may need it some other time. We may need to use it again. Oh, I had it, but I don't have it. I'm not saying just get rid of everything. I'm not saying go out there and acquire everything. But the essential things that you need are already right inside of you. Just have the courage and the confidence to call it up, to release that power, to give it to the universe and know that it will not come back void. So, again, very excited to be here. Thank you for each and every one of you who have dialed in, called in, who will listen in the archives, who will, you know, look at the post and make references and comments. Thank you again for being here. And, again, thank you, Coach Lalisa, for allowing me to share my thoughts and my experience each and every week, for encouraging me and others to do the same, to follow your dream, to do those things that are inside of you. So thank you. Thank you so much. I don't have any updates from last week. Everything is still going on the same path. The book is, again, near completion. The audio, which was going to be a six-week audio, is going to be a six-day audio training version, and I can't wait to release that. I'm calling it 2020. Increase your income by 20% in 6 days by listening to these audio clips for just 20 minutes. For just 20 minutes. It's digestible. It's palatable. It's something that you can consume over and over again and not asking you to, you know, give up your entire day. Not actually give up your entire life, but just 20 minutes can change your life. And I'm going to be offering that very, very soon. So be on the lookout for that. Also, for anyone who's looking to learn more about me or to secure a copy of my current book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, do go to my website at www.versiewalker.com. That's V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER.com. Again, a lot of information. I'm building my new website for the book, Powerful Sales Conversion, From Suspects to Prospects. I'll be offering more items there as well. But like you said, Coach, jump on the train. And sometimes, you know, we are on the right track, going in the right direction, doing the right things, but we stop and we dwell too long. we stop and we celebrate too much. We stop and we want to pat ourselves on the back. And that train doesn't stop. The train of prosperity, the train of insanity, the train of wrongful doing, those trains don't stop. And if you're ahead of them, great. If you're walking alongside of them, great. But if you allow them to knock you over or to pass you by, you could be in trouble because sometimes it's hard to get back on that train. Some trains are short-lived. Some extend for a long period. What train will you jump on? Now, this week, I actually want to talk about training the subconscious mind. On last week, I talked about overcoming phobias, and I was really trying to gear that towards overcoming phone phobia, especially for our multi-level marketing, direct marketing, telephone sales, and solicitors, that phobia which prevents them from making the call, and then within the body of the call, they're sabotaging their efforts by just comments, pauses, jumping in too soon, and not being able to really solidify the sale. So I wanted people to realize that phobias are a disorder. They're an imbalance. There's something there. There's a fear that has been magnified to some degree, either perhaps because of fear of criticism, fear of failure, some method, something has embedded itself inside the individual that wants to prevent them from making that phone call. And we use the phone for everything. We use the phone predominantly to run our entire lives. And it behooves me, after having owned businesses in seven different locations, and I watched people as I was in the malls. I was in major malls across the country, and people would do the fool in public. What do you mean? Well, what I mean is that they would clown. They would make noise. They would be disruptive and disrespectful. They would show their backside in public. And the audience can be vast, full of strangers. But if you isolate that individual on a stage and ask them to perform the buffoonery or the excellence that you saw displayed in the open form for all to see, they will freeze. They become bashful. They become shy. They don't want to do it. You put me on the spot. But I've seen hundreds of people, old and young, act the fool and put their own selves in the spotlight, and they thought nothing of it. They've, you know, spoken loudly or incorrectly in various forms and mediums on the phone. So these phobias in which we say that people have and they're shying their back to, those are just cloaks. People are just hiding behind those for their own given purposes. You have this angelic individual who you see at church every week, you know, he or she is, you know, a child of God, and then you get on MySpace and you say, oh, my goodness, Lord Jesus, save them and me. What are they doing? See, people will perform and they will use these statements to hide behind, and one of them, again, was phobias. You know, and so it is a legitimate disorder, and I want to make sure we talked about that to help people overcome that. But today I want to talk about changing your conscious, your subconscious, training your subconscious mind. This week I read that by training your subconscious mind to accept a new belief, you change your experience, your body, your mind, and your spirit. This is what you saw, Coach, there with Miss Dancy there in the Carolinas, people looking to change their subconscious mind and to change their experience, their body, their mind, and their spirit. I thought when I read this how profound to simply think that much of what I've shared with you all over the days, weeks, and months since doing the Wednesday morning midweek inspiration show, how, Coach, you're releasing your power tour and empowerment movement, all could be simply summed up by this statement. Changing your subconscious mind, training your subconscious mind to accept a new belief. I personally know firsthand that changing how we look at things, then the things that we look at will change. So if you stop looking at your mate as being incompetent, a liar, unable to satisfy you and anything else, if you stop looking at them in that manner, looking at them with a different mind's eye, talking about the compliments or complimenting the aspects and attributes that they have that you enjoyed when you met them, that they still possess today, that may be hidden because of all the anger and the disgust, the distrust and dismay. But if you change how you look at that mate, that young lady that you talked to, Coach, about the GED, when you change how she viewed her educational opportunity, she then probably changed how she looked at herself. See, when we look at things differently, those things that we look at become different. We can change our circumstances because of our perception. And that's what life is. That's what life is. You see a boy today with a pair of nice slacks from the Gap and a T-shirt and a backpack, you're thinking, wow, he must be studious. Maybe he's academic. You know, he's a collegiate. And then he walks up and he robs you. Your perception didn't meet with reality. But life is about perception. But I think, again, and I know firsthand that how we look at things, then the things that we look at will change. I also know that what we think about, we bring about. Those things that we dream and think about become visible manifestations in our lives. If we think filthy, we become filthy. If we think prosperous, we become prosperous. We can bring that prosperity in our community. If we think that our house, however big or small it is a valuable asset that has been blessed upon us and we treat it in such a way, that house will magnify. That house will become that 1,700-square-foot bungalow will now become that 4,500-square-foot estate. It can become that, and you may not even have changed your address. It's because, again, what you think about, you bring about. I think love, joy, and happiness, and those things foster within my life, within my community, within my world, and within my affairs, because I accept nothing less than that. I ain't got too much more fight in me, Coach, when it comes down to negativity. I still with the best of them. I signified. I talked about. I criticized. I don't do that anymore. I don't desire that in my life and in my existence. I don't want that around me because I know negativity and fear germinates like any other disease, like any other virus, and it will manifest. It will rest. It will foster, and it will blossom. One thing years ago, Coach, I'm driving with my oldest daughter, who's now 14, and she probably was 6 or 7. She looks out the window and she sees a dandelion on the side of the road, and it was the only dandelion there, and it was in full bloom. It was yellow. It was pretty. It was nice in this patch of grass, and she said, "What a beautiful flower." I said, "No, sweetheart, that's a dandelion. That's a weed. That weed will mask itself to look like an adoring flower. It will then germinate. It will then spread. It will then populate, and it soon it will choke the life out of that grass." We have people like that. They will mask themselves. They will train themselves to think and act like the masses, to blend themselves in with you, to talk your lingo and your language, and then they will now choke the life out of you. So I wanted people to, again, change their subconscious because I know what you think about, you can bring about. And if you think about higher level of education, higher quality of life, higher association, having the releasing your power across 50 states, hitting every city, every major medium and form to bring about messages of change and encouragement and empowerment, that will occur. So what you allow to manifest in your subconscious will always come out in your visible. The subconscious is the place where imagination dwells, looking for, waiting for you to fill in more things, creative or non-creative. So it's up to you. But for me to think that if we train our subconscious mind to accept a new belief, a new truth, or the possibilities of something different, we can then change our experiences, our body, our mind, and our spirit. Perhaps it's the same thing that we've been saying all along, Coach, just simply put in a different format, a different group of wording, because there's nothing new under the sun. But, however, I beg the difference. I see this method of thinking as being far different than many of the other statements out there today. Perhaps it was the word training and the contents of what I read that struck an accord with me. The notion of training yourselves, ourselves, to accept a new belief can not only be liberating, but freeing as well. I want to repeat that. The notion of training yourself or ourselves to accept a new belief can not only be liberating, but freeing as well. I have stated, Coach, and I know you've heard me, and a lot of the listeners have heard me, on several occasions, how all behaviors and fears are all learned, and how I can choose or train ourselves to unlearn them. But I hadn't considered all the benefits of doing so, meaning how doing that in which we're talking about, training our subconscious mind to accept something new or a new belief, how by doing so, it can change your body, it can change your experience, it can change your mind, meaning your thinking pattern, your thought-provoking thoughts, and it can change your spirit. Now, believe this, each of these benefits by themselves has millions of people each day spending a small fortune in hopes of achieving just one, in hopes of achieving just one of these benefits. But to have the ability to accomplish all of them by simply training your subconscious mind is amazing. That's just doing one thing. That's doing one sit-up, and then all of a sudden your buttocks is toned and your thighs are toned and your hair is black again with no gray. Doing one sit-up, you know how many people will be rushing to the gym or to a floor somewhere across this great land that they can have one thing that they can do that will give them residual or multiple benefits. This is amazing to me. Just to think of all the years how our parents and even television commercials told us that a mind was a terrible thing to waste. Now I see what they really meant. If you have that much power within your body, within your subconscious, and to be able to train your way to new ideas, to new beliefs that would enhance your body, your mind, your spirit, is amazing to me. And again, it's not new to me, but I think in that context, the word training is what pulled this all together for me. It's what pulled this all together, because everything that we do, we have to train ourselves to do that. You may have the attributes of a great running back. You may have the will of a phenomenal Olympic swimmer. You may have the desire and the spirit of a CEO. But if you're not trained or trained properly, how far could you really go? How much of your invested potential or power can really be released and enhanced to take you to a level of prominence? So I guess the word training is what did it for me. So this means to me that the fear of cold calling, the fear of success, the fear of criticism can all vanish if we train our subconscious mind to accept something new, a new belief, to consider a different possibility. How many ways can you make french fries? How many ways can you make a baked potato? You know, double baked potato, twice baked potato, in the oven, in the microwave. There are so many different possibilities, and I think we become possessive that the way it's been done for so long is the only way it can be done. And then you have the, you know, the new slogan, thinking outside the box, be forward thinking, progressive thinking, be retro, all these different things. It's the same thing, just warmed over people. The guy who got tired of riding, you know, walking to the, you know, store, decided to jump on a horse. The guy who was tired of riding a horse decided to create a buggy or a bicycle. It's just thinking, people. It's just being creative, looking at your circumstances and see how you can enhance, eliminate, or change the way your life exists. So, see, the subconscious mind is where thoughts lie, both good or bad. It's that I saw something last night on TV and I woke up and wrote a manuscript. It's that I saw something at the movie a couple of days ago and it harbored itself in my subconscious, and when I came home and fell asleep and woke up, well, during the time I was asleep, I had a nightmare. It's because the subconscious is your warehouse. It holds information. It holds stuff, even things that you don't even realize you experienced, that you saw, that you heard. The subconscious picks it up. It's that nosy auntie sitting on your shoulder. It's that mechanism that allows you to do things, and you think that maybe you created yourself. You could have. You could have very much created yourself, but a lot of times it's the information that's around us in the universe that is bouncing off and coming back from the ethernet. Well, the ether in the galaxy in out there in the hemisphere, that you're receiving this through your subconscious. So, in thinking of this, it made me think about perhaps what Dr. Martin Luther King was asking us to do with his I Have a Dream speech. I think he was asking us, and if I'm wrong, please let me know, people, but I think he was asking us to train our subconscious mind to accept something new. See, for many, his I Have a Dream speech, they mocked that. They tried to destroy the meaning and the content. You know, don't be sleepy. You know, he's obviously sleepy. All he's talking about is a dream. He wasn't talking about being inebriated, being knocked out, being unconscious. He was talking about the subconscious mind. He was talking about his visual, you know, not just his audio. He was speaking of the future. He was talking about what he saw this great world to be. But for many, this was considered a ridiculous notion to even consider it, because they had been trained and conditioned to see themselves and the world one way for so long that it was ridiculous and almost an impossibility to talk about this dreams of black kids and white kids holding hands and walking together. This dream about LaLisa Williams going to the Carolinas and releasing her power all over those people so they can release theirs all over the world. This is the dream in which he was talking about, but for so many people it was a ridiculous notion. Knowing where Versie Walker came from and who he was, not having a father around, you know, growing up with a single parent, and in the inner city of Chicago, wait a minute, that's a ridiculous notion that you'll one day be on television, you'll one day be writing a book, you'll one day be on a radio station sharing your views with others, inspiring them to be the best that they can be. It was a ridiculous notion because they had been trained and conditioned for so long to see things one way. But here we are many years later, people, and his notion, his being Dr. Martin Luther King, his notion and his dream has changed the lives of millions of people, the bodies of those individuals, the minds and the spirits of those people all across the globe, where he was our Messiah, he was our presenter, he was our deliverer of messages and encouragement. But brown skins, yellow skins, white skins, every color across this nation, young and old, when they hear that speech, they sit down and they become somber individuals. They feel something. His words resonate on their spirit. Maybe, people, this is what President Barack Obama was asking us to do when he ran his presidential campaign using the slogan, "A change you can depend on." I too think he was asking us to train our subconscious mind to accept something new. By doing so, look at what was able to be achieved. The first African-American president of the United States of America. America got it, people. Will you? His statement about a change that you can depend on or a change that you can believe in, he gave hope to the hopeless. He had a statement that he realized anew. It's marketing 101 at its finest. But he knew that people were sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they were looking for something different. And all he asked was to train your subconscious to accept a new belief, to accept something new, to believe in change that you can depend on. And here he stands today, the President of the United States, and he doesn't stand by himself. He is the inroad, the introduction to new opportunity for, again, brown, yellow, black, and white-skinned people all across this great land. Because he achieved what most people couldn't believe. He provided you an option, and other people want to continuously give you their way of thinking. His ridiculous notion of being the president, of achieving, ascending to the highest level of this great land. Now you can see how you and your dream can come to visible manifestation if you just simply train or retrain your subconscious mind to believe in something new. The word believe in there is something I always talk about. If you can receive it, if you can believe it, you can receive it, you can achieve it. You know, you have to have a belief system. But that training component, that each day deliberately going in and doing something systematically in an order or in accordance to where your desires are at, will allow you people to achieve greatness immeasurably. You can't even measure the success that you will have. Your mind right now is not expansive enough because you haven't been to where you need to get to. You have become who you need to become to have what you want to have. But it will be immeasurable, the success that you will have, both personally and professionally, but not as a selfish accomplishment. Not for you just to hold and put on your mantle, but it would be that, again, level of prominence that would be displayed throughout. Everything you touch, you will then have the Midas touch. You will leave little drops of encouragement everywhere you go. You will plant seeds for trees that will cast shadows and protect people and provide them a shade when it's hot, that you may never, ever get to see. See, Dr. Martin Luther King, he planted a seed that grew into a tree that he didn't even get to sit under, that he didn't even get to read his own book, his own speech. But his children have now, that tree has casted a shadow and spread leaves across this great land that is immeasurable. The success is immeasurable. Recently, I read an interesting article by a man named Sam at Success Unlimited magazine. He states that you should think twice before using the word can't. He indicates that you'll find it is very empowering to do so, to not just blurt out the word I can't, to not just say it because it's convenient and easy, but to restrain yourself and think twice about it. Even if you say it after that, no problem, but the power of just thinking twice and considering the possibilities and the repercussions of what you're about to say. And his word again was can't. For example, he goes to say, someone who says I can't lose weight might want to reconsider and understand the reality is that they choose not to lose weight. They choose to eat a disproportionate amount of red meat, pasta, and cakes, rather than lean protein, whole grains, and leafy greens. He goes on to ask, are you preventing yourself from being the best you that you can be and from acquiring new knowledge because you tell yourself, I can't afford it? He says that one of the most popular reasons people fail is that they do not invest enough into their arsenal of knowledge. Again, he says one of the most popular reasons people felt is that they do not invest enough into their arsenal of knowledge. That didn't happen this weekend down there in the Carolinas. It didn't happen with the Releasing Your Power tour. That didn't happen. People came in and they invested. They invested financially, they invested physically, and they invested mentally, and they will then again have a seed that will cast a shadow for generations to come, a protective covenant. But if you're not reading about your industry, he says, each week, keeping abreast of important topics and learning new strategies for success, then you're not invested in your career. The student who doesn't study is not invested in their future, in their education. The mate that does not invest time in cultivating the love and nurturing components of their relationship is not invested in that relationship. The man or woman who doesn't clean the interior of their car, the exterior of their car, doesn't change the oil, they're not invested in the maintenance and the upkeep of that vehicle that they may desperately depend on. You can't have one without the other. You can always have a peanut butter sandwich and doesn't have to have jelly. You can have a jelly sandwich without peanut butter. But when you put them together, it creates a whole different sensation in your mouth. But if you're not invested in these things or investing, you're not invested in that attribute in which you're talking about, that goal in which you're trying to achieve. It just won't happen, people. So if you're not invested in your career, you're setting yourself up for mediocrity at best, at least according to Sam, but I believe that as well. He goes on to add, you may have heard the old adage that rich people have big libraries and poor people have big TVs. But he says this idea is true. How much does it cost to download an e-book? Or to go to a library, or to pick up a few audible books, or attend a high-profile seminar, Releasing Your Power. As clergyman Austin Phelps once advised, he stated, wear the old coat, C-O-A-T, wear the old coat and buy the new book. Investing in your knowledge base pays huge dividends. You must be 100% committed to assuming information, to amassing information, to gathering information if you wish to earn the salary you deserve. I want to add to that. Not just, you know, committing to amassing information for a salary, but how about a lifestyle? How about the life that you choose to live? See, I mentioned before, Sean Puffy Combs, mogul as he may be, he doesn't sell an item. He is a brand, walking, living, breathing brand. He sells a lifestyle, a concept or belief. He sells the notion that if you drive this car, wear this cologne, drink this liquor, wear this suit, you can live like me. He sells a lifestyle, so not just amassing information for informational sake, not just to increase your salary, because you still may not get the salary that is deserving of someone with your talents and your skills, but to have a lifestyle, the freedom to choose, the freedom to come and go as you wish, the freedom to do things on a grander scale is just as important. See, it is my belief that the author of this particular article was also asking people to train their subconscious mind to accept something new in order to get, have, or become something different. One of his concepts was to alleviate the word, I can't. That is probably the biggest word, and I wrote in my book, I can't is one of the most strongest two-letter words that have prevented more men from reaching the highest levels of this society, of this group, of this thing that we live in. I can have prevented more women from being queens and more men from being kings. It has prevented fathers from being in the midst of their children, from being absent both physically and mentally because of the word, I can't. I can't prevent that girl from pursuing her GED. I can't have so many graveyards filled with chemists, CEOs, pharmacists, artists, writers, because the word, I can't. And so he understood that. He wrote that in the article that was the title, I can't. I can't do it. So I believe it was him asking us to train, retrain, condition our subconscious mind to accept something new in order to become, have, and get something different. Believe me, it is all how you train your mind to think. And there's an old statement, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. So if you don't think there's a problem with cleaning out sewers, you can have a job for the rest of your life. If you don't think that there's an issue or it's demeaning for you to be a window washer, you again can have a job for the rest of your life. If it doesn't matter to you that it will take you 16 years as opposed to 12 years to get your doctorate, your PhD, or whatever it is that you have aspired your mind to, then it doesn't matter. But if you feel that it's okay for your husband, your mate, your friend to go upside your head every Tuesday night when he or she comes home drunk, then it doesn't matter. It's how you train your subconscious to believe and to achieve and to receive these great things. And so I hope that this resonates with everyone who's listening, personally, professionally, whatever it is, train or retrain your subconscious mind to accept something new, to believe and accept a new concept, a new thought, a new way of doing things, a new way of getting to your stated purpose and your stated goal. And you will then see things emerge within inside of you and others around you that will help to catapult you to where you want to be. And with that, Coach, once again, it seems like we're nearing our ending time. It's always so good to get started and get revved up and then have to bring it down. But I just want people to see everything that I'm saying, everything that I'm sharing with you, whether it's on a personal level or a professional level, they all intertwine. But it all, again, starts with the mind. And I thought the training component of his statement and the subconscious mind, that training, not adjusting, not doing it different, the training part, because we have to train our way of thinking. And, to say train a child as you want him or guide him as you would like for him to go, and he will go, that training component, that training statement brought it home for me. And with that being said, Coach, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Hey, Mr. Walker, you've done it again. Listen, I tell you, always inspiring, very powerful. We know that this is a time for people to live their dreams like never before. There's no need to hold back anymore. It's absolutely not. And just take it by force. Go out there. Get it done. Connect with the people that can help you. People like Mr. Percy Walker, you know how to get in touch with him. You know how to contact him. You know, he's doing great. You're doing so many great things over there with the school board, with your book, traveling around the country, in and out of airports and bookstores, getting the word out, So we're going to be looking forward to doing something together over there in New York and some other cities, where people are going to truly, truly, truly be inspired. So we thank you. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow. For those of you who were here yesterday, don't forget we're going to finish up the following, some more strategies, I should say, for becoming who you really are. From the eight, talking about, we're giving out eight steps to your comeback. That's what we were talking about yesterday. That's so you want to come back. Yes, you want to come back because you have something to do. There is something left for you to do, something left, another assignment, another position, another level for you to go to. So we're going to wake some people up from the dead. We're going to resurrect some people. We're going to pull people out of their stuck positions. Some people are going to be able to shake off some of that stuff that has them in bondage that is stopping them from really becoming all that they can be. And, you know, it's so exciting over here. You know, we're enthusiastic about the future and what it holds. We don't let things like high gas prices, come on. We do realize we drove to North Carolina, there and back, 10 hours. We're not worried. See, when you are really on this for real, well, you're not worried about gas prices. We didn't run out of gas. We still ain't run out of gas. We still got gas, and we still have money. So I don't understand people's problems and why they let – well, I do understand. I shouldn't say I don't understand. I do understand. That's why I'm a coach, because we do understand, and a minister, because we understand people's problems. I shouldn't say I don't. We do. We're the ones who were anointed to understand the problems. But what
correct.
I'm saying is – I don't understand why people won't come get help for their problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you have people who have the answers is what I don't understand. So we'll show you how to not be upset about the high gas prices, how you can still go on vacation with your family, you can still take trips and do all the things that you want to do. And we're driving to Cincinnati, so, you know, what's the big deal? You work, you earn a living, you have a business, but, you know, fear is holding so many people back. Well, it's 8 o'clock, y'all. It's time to go. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Wednesday show right here with Versi L. Walker, the Midweek Inspirator, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Everybody, have a great, wonderful, and powerful day.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. But we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.